Okay, now, EEO policies. That's probably the most important thing in your handbook, right? So you want a general EEO policy that talks about prohibited discrimination, and you want to list all the protected classes that cover you or any of the states you happen to be in. Now, if, for example, in Texas, if you have people in Texas and, let's say, New York, and New York has extra categories, let's say they family violence victims, right? So if you put family violence victims in there, in Texas, that doesn't give a family violence victim a cause of action against the company if they say they were fired because they were a family violence victim, right? Because there's no such law in Texas. So just putting that in your handbook is not going to be a problem because your handbook's going to say it's not a contract. But that's not true in every state. In some states, if you say it in the handbook, you better be willing to live with it. So be careful. And it may be wiser, depending on what states you're in, to have an appendix. You have a basic handbook that's everybody. And then you have appendix for each state where you have employees that governs variations in the handbook for that state. Okay? Doing that, it avoids everybody knowing what other people are getting. Well, how can the people in Wyoming get X and we only get Y? You know, well, because they have a better lobby. that happens. So yeah, that's just one way of handling the multi-state handbook. But in Texas, you want to cover the age, race, national origin, religion, sex, and define sex to include all the various categories and any other state-specific protected classes, which in Texas there are none. So there you have it. You want to address what is the process for requesting an accommodation for a disability, and what is the process for requesting a religious accommodation. A lot of handbooks don't do that. I would advise you do it. I would advise you to say that those requests should come to HR, not to the manager. Because the last thing you really want to do is encourage employees to go to their manager about their medical disabilities. It's not against the rules. It's not against the law. It's just that my preference would be to isolate the manager as much as possible from medical data. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have an employee that sits at their desk and says, well, I was diagnosed with this, and then they gave me that, and then I saw doctors. Ad nauseum, fine, But I just generally think it's wiser for accommodation requests to be directed to HR, who is educated on how to handle those requests and how to respond to those requests, rather than having, the supervisor, first-time supervisor who's been on the job 3 weeks dealing with it. Saying, oh, it's not that bad. I'm sure you'll be fine. We'll just get you a stool. It's like, no, let's not just get him a stool. Let's talk about this. So it needs to state that retaliation against somebody for complaining about discrimination is prohibited, and it needs to provide a process. And I generally have, the way these are grouped in my handbooks, I have no discrimination, and I have the accommodation, and I have the harassment, and then I have the reporting process for all that. If you're unhappy about discrimination, harassment, denial of accommodations, then you can report it too, and then I have the reporting process, and then at the bottom I have retaliation, and then I say, and if you feel you're retaliated against, report it according to the reporting policy. So, because it will cover all of this, right? So it loops around. Now, harassment policy. Harassment policy should give some definitions. It should define what is prohibited harassment, so cover your protected classes. Then in Texas, I would consider using the definition of sexual harassment that appears in the new Texas amendment, which I believe is in your update paper. So we'll talk about that later today. It should make it clear that harassment is prohibited not just by employees, but also by customers, vendors, contractors, co-tenants. It's basically anybody that they come in contact with as part of, in the context of their job, right? So, you know, if I run some type of facility where I'm caring for patients and my staff has to deal with their family members a lot, okay? It would be the family members of our residents or our consumers or our whatever you want to call them, clients. But make it clear that all those people, if they're harassing, this policy is for that situation as well, right? So it doesn't have to be another employee that's harassing you, because you want to know about any of those that might be occurring. Okay, provide the process of where they report it. You want to be, this is my personal opinion, I see a lot of handbooks where they say, while an employee is not required to discuss their concern with the employee who's engaging in the conduct that's offensive, we encourage the employee to do so, or something along those lines, right? Here's my view. Any employee who was comfortable doing that is not going to need a policy telling them it's okay to do it. They're going to say, you call me baby one more time, and I'm going to whop you upside the head. That would be a threat, and then they'd get fired. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, if you know, you're going to have a certain personality type that is just going to take the bull by the horns and just address it. Whatever, you know, they're just going to say, I don't think so. Then you're going to have those who aren't comfortable with that, especially if it's a boss.